This evening's scripture is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires.
Evening, everyone. Okay, you say, well, if you could just stay there in 2 Peter, in chapter 1 there. I was talking with guys after services this morning, and Josh pointed out something when I was talking about our phones and how, you know, what a tool it is. Something that we can do with this tool is, one thing I like to do is you can listen to all kinds of Bible class material and sermons and get all kinds of things like that. So anytime you're at home, or you know, you're just driving, you're going to work, I call it mindless work. Anytime you're doing mindless work, you don't have to be thinking about what you're doing while you're just mowing the lawn or raking the leaves or something. You can listen to these things, and you can get several hours of instructions and stuff to help you, to boost you up as you're doing it. I do that all the time. Anytime I'm splitting firewood, got the earpieces in, got the ear protection on, and listen to the debates. You can listen to all kinds of stuff while you're doing that thing. And next thing you know, you got a cord of firewood split, and you're that much smarter and stuff. But that was a good one. I forgot about that we do that there. All right. So tonight, I'm going to try to talk about godliness. We see this here that God, His divine power in verse 3 here of 2 Peter 1, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we're looking down here in verse 5. It says, you know, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So we look at this as if in verses 8 and 9, if these things that we have abound in us, that we're not going to stumble. And our goal here is, as we see that, you know, in verse 10, to be even more diligent to make our call and election sure. Election, or being chosen by God, that's what the election is. He's going to choose us on this. So one of the important parts of this is for godliness. We want to add godliness to our lives. But the question all the time comes up, like, well, what is godliness then? What do we think about as godliness? Is godliness like being good? That's all we're going to be here? Some people misuse this word, and we use godly for all kinds of stuff. Remember that catch-all type of thing? You know, we always want to be more godly. Like, cleanliness is next to godliness. I don't know who come up with that one, but does that make sense to us in that? You know, a lot of us don't have a firm grip on godliness. But it's a person who seeks God out in everything they do. And we need to know how to grow deeper in godliness. So I just want to show some things about what godliness really is. It is not, the spoiler alert, being just nice or something like that. Actually, godliness is kind of a term that people used in the New Testament early times. Everybody used this thing about godliness, and it's kind of puts its roots there into idolatry. It was to describe the proper respect for the Greek and the Roman gods, how the idolatrous person was to regard his gods, you know, with fear and reverence there. You know, but we see this, we start to see as things go, we see a change. The apostles and everybody are going to start changing how people should view godliness. It's not going to be this fear of the gods. You know, let's do nice things for them, let's feed them, or else they're going to hit us with a lightning bolt. It's not that. We look there in Acts, the third chapter, in Acts 3. And this is after, I think, Peter and John have raised this lame man who was lame from birth. And the guy's not only walking, he's jumping around and leaping and praising God here and stuff. But you look there in Acts, the third chapter, in verse 12, it says that when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" You know, it's going to be a different meaning now, something more than just respect about gods and about what God is. It's not going to be this idea of, hey, we can go to the temple, we can offer up our sacrifice, and then go home and do whatever we want to do after that. There, that kind of sounds familiar. Some people have that kind of attitude about the church. We come in here, we're going to act a certain way here, but then when we get out of this, we've done our due things to God. Now the rest of the week is ours. We get to do whatever we want to. So we stay in the book of Acts. We go over to Acts 10 here. Acts, the 10th chapter, and about Cornelius. And we get a description of Cornelius here. We see that in verses 1 and 2 here. It's stuff. He says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment." And here is the description: "A devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always." This is a lifestyle choice now in godliness. You know, it's a lifestyle verse. He's a devout man. And the word devout here is kind of the same word Peter uses for godliness there in 2 Peter 3 there. And then we look at this. We want to be godly and how we live our lifestyles because of what's coming ahead. You go back into 2 Peter, the third chapter, 2 Peter 3, and we're looking at, it talks about there in verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So everything that we see around us is going to be burned up, melted, it's going to be gone. So then in verse 11, Peter writes, it says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" When you got all of this stuff you see and everything that people want to work for, he says, this is all going to be gone. Well, what should you be spending your time on now, knowing that this stuff's all going to be gone? What are you working for? We want to go for godliness. You know, so he's talking about here that when Jesus comes, everything's going to be destroyed. And since everything's going to be destroyed, how should we be acting? We need to live in a certain way then that's going to get us elected by God here. So now what we see here, godliness is not being a nice person, but living a God-honoring kind of life. Let me repeat that. Godliness is living a God-honoring kind of life, a life that honors God all the time. Let's see. We look in Titus, the second chapter, and he talks about godliness. Titus 2, and then we're going to look in verse 11. Titus 2 and verse 11, because for whose mouth must be stopped? Oh, 2. I'm in 1. Okay. And he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age there. So we want to look at this. We're going to deny ungodliness. And what's that? Well, that's that worldly lust. And we're going to live righteously and godly in this world here. The things, you know, so we're going to look at this. We're looking for godliness. We want to live that God-honored kind of life. So I got some things that's going to help us live a life that honors God. And if we think about these things, it's going to be a lot easier to put godliness in our lives here. Okay, number one, we need to be thinking about the Lord a lot more than what we do here. I invite you to go over to the 139th Psalm. 139th Psalm here instead. You know, so we're looking at this thing. In Psalm 139, in verse 1, he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehended my path and my lying down. You were acquainted with all my ways. The Lord is acquainted with everything that we do. He knows all this stuff. So I always like this. We see here, like men, guys, where do you go when you want to be away from your wife? Some might say the garage. I look for the woods. I'll fool the wife anyway. I'll say, hey, wait, you want to go out to the woods with me? And she'll go, where are you going in the woods? Well, you see that swarm of mosquitoes? We're going to go through those. And we're going to go to the poison ivy patch, make a left turn through that briar acre that's there. Yeah, we're going to go through that, cross the mud plains, and then go to that where that mossy tree is. So, guys, moss is another word for moss with women is mold. That's what they're thinking of. You know, so they don't want to be anywhere near that stuff. And they're like, no, I don't want to go there. Okay. And then you go there, and you're away from your wife, and you can just relax. You can't say nothing. You turn off the electronic overlord because you're in a bad spot and it's dead. But you are away from her. You can be by yourself on that day. But not so with our Lord here. We look here in verse 7 of Psalms 139. Verse 7, he says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and to dwell in the upper uttermost parts of the sea, even there you shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me up there. We look, as if I say, surely darkness shall fall on me. Even the night shall the light be about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. We can't go anywhere where God does not know where we're at and is with us. You know, David knew that he was always in the presence of God. Not that God was spying on us. Now you got to be careful now, because God's watching. If you commit some kind of sin, he's seeing it. No, but seeing God, but seeing these things as God sees them. In verse 10, you see that even your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. He's going. He's with us all the time, keeping us safe in that, being able to direct us in here. You know, let's go over to 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. Again, here what David's talking about. This 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. And here we see this, how David is constantly thinking about God. So he's always in his presence. So David then, since God is always with us, then he's going to be constantly thinking about God all the time. We see here in chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. You know, a lot of times when we go through a lot of work and we finally got the jobs done, it's time to relax, it's time to go on vacation, a lot of people go like, okay, I'm done with all this stuff, I'm done. I don't have to worry about God now. I don't have to worry about anything. We've crossed the finish line. We're done. David's thinking now that he's got all of his enemies in subjection to him, okay, what can I do now to please God? And he's thinking about God all the time. So where, you know, he wants to do what will honor God in his life. So wherever you're at, we have to be thinking about this. Wherever you're at now, are you looking for ways that you can honor God? You know, wherever we're at, you're at your neighborhood. Are you thinking about ways you can honor God? You're at work or at school. Are there ways that you can honor God? How about in our relationships with people? You know, when with my wife and that, I'm thinking, how do I honor God with the way I live? So godliness is not about how you act on Sundays, but it's about how you act every day. What does God want me to do with my life? So that's the first one. We got to be thinking about God all the time. Number two is that we have to always work on our worship to God here on Sundays or Wednesdays and that. You know, so we're looking at that worship. That it's an old English word that they kind of use. It's a kind of a scrunched up for worship, paying worship, paying reverence to somebody or to someone that is due. You know, honor is an ascribed worth to something. You know, worshiping is honoring someone who is worth it. You know, so we see there, we don't have to go to Matthew 19:19. We're going to talk about the honoring your parents. Now, certainly we're not worshiping them, but we're giving them the amount of honor that is due them. So that's how we take care of our parents, or that's how we treat our parents, and that we're giving them the honor that's due them. So how much honor is due God? Well, quite a bit of honor is due God. If we, if we can't honor God for just a couple of hours here on Sunday, well, what does it bode when we're out in the rest of the world the rest of the week? We can't do a very good job of honoring God here. What are we going to do when we're out under the influence of the world and that? So if we worship God here in spirit and in truth here, well, how would we live out there if we did it that way then? So I'd have to, if I wanted to worship God in spirit and in truth, I'm gonna figure out what God wants in worship. What pleases God. Not what would please me. You got so many people that go like, hey, this is how God wants it done. Well, I would think it would be better. It makes me feel better if we do it this way. That's where they introduce instruments and of music and stuff. Well, how does it makes me feel better. Not concerned about how God views that thing. Is the instruments of music in service, is that like fingernails on a chalkboard to God? I don't know. I don't care. I just like to have that myself and stuff. We look at there in Malachi, the book of Malachi, we see it how people looked at worship there, how bad it was. We look at it in Malachi, the first chapter, in verse 6 and 7. Malachi 1, verse 6 and 7, and he says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Well, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. You know, they're offering all of this secondhand or defective or blemished items. That did not honor God. You know, it's like, you know, I never think of myself going to Goodwill like making a sacrifice. I'm getting rid of those leisure suits. I'm getting rid of stuff that doesn't fit me anymore. I'm getting rid of furniture that's got a leg missing or something, and I take it over there. And I am nice. I go like, do you really want this before? Because it was either you or the dumpster, and they'll go, oh, we'll take it or not. But I don't go like, ooh, man. You know, praise me, I did some sacrificing. That's what these people were doing. They're bringing their secondhand defective animals, and it's stuff that nobody wanted. Hey, we'll bring this to the Lord. Let him, we'll give it to him. You know, so they weren't honoring God. They weren't ascribing worth to him. You know, I have to take the focus off of me when I'm here in services. What am I going to get out of services? I'm going to not be looking at others like, how do I look to everybody? Am I singing okay that everybody's going to like me? How's my prayers sounding and that? I'm going to be just looking and focusing on what the Lord wants. And when we're doing that, We got to think about this as being a special time and place where we can get away and forget about the distractions of the world and focus on the Lord. And if it would help us, if we, and it's going to help us when we leave here and we go back into the world, we're going to get charged up in there. So we got to think about our worship, how we worship the Lord here. And if we do our worship correctly, it's going to help us in our godliness there. Okay, number three, he says, they would have to think about our dependence on the Lord. We need to be thinking about our dependence on the Lord all the time. A lot of times we're not thinking about that. We know that in Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, where do we hear that psalm all the time? It's usually at a funeral. Somebody's dead, everybody's kind of upset, so we read that thing. But listen to this thing. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." All those ways that the Lord takes care of us all the time. So Psalms is just not... this psalm here just shows our dependence on God here. All these ways that the Lord takes care of us every day here on this earth while we're here. You know, sheep are very dependent animals. They really need that shepherd to take care of them. And if they don't have a shepherd, they scatter and they're in danger of all kinds of things. Might be wild animals, it might be falling into something. You even have them where they fall, they flip upside down and they can't get up. You need to have somebody come over to straighten them out. We like to think that we're independent here on this earth, but we're free, but we're really not. You know, we might have trouble honoring God in our lives for the reason we don't think we need Him. We don't think He's done anything for us, you know. We look at, you know, one of the things like Matthew 5 and verse 45, he says, "He causes the sun and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust." When we think about that, we think, hey, the sun and the rain, it's supposed to be here. My health, it's supposed to be pretty decent. It's not supposed to have any kind of troubles, you know. But we look at that, God gives us all of that stuff, and He doesn't have to. People don't want God, but they really enjoy the sun and the rain and that. And they enjoy the health. But they don't realize God is the one supplying all that. And not only that He does that. We look over in Ephesians, the first chapter, in verse 7. And we see that in Ephesians 1 and verse 7 that He is the source of eternal life. In verse 7 there, He says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the richness of His grace." We have salvation through God, not because of anything that we've done. So God, He's made this world, He's given us the sun and the rain, and He's even redeemed us, our souls. So we're very much dependent on Him for everything that we have. Now, God could have made us like a bunch of robots, just to put us in there. We're just programmed to honor Him, to worship Him, and have really good worship services. But we would just be worshiping Him involuntarily. It's just something that we do. We don't really care. But when we have this, you enter in free will into this thing. You have free will to worship God. You have free will not to worship God. So when we worship God with our free will, then we're coming here and we're going like, "I want to worship God. I want to serve God. I desire to honor God. So I'm going to obey God. I'm going to obey the Lord here." And that's the heart that God wants from us there. So we look in 1 Timothy 6, in verse 6. He says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." So God is at the center of all we do. He's the center of all of our being. And this is very foreign to the rest of the world. They don't understand God. And so they're just floating around here thinking that they're independent. They don't need anything. So we're looking at this. So just finishing up here, He says, for those who want to develop a true Christian characters of 2 Peter 1, we got to be determined to acquire godliness. And that means leading a life that honors God. And if we acquire this, from 1 Timothy 6:6, we're going to have great gain here on this. Okay, so in summation, we need to be godly. Godliness is living a God-honoring life. And if so to get that, we need to be thinking about God more. He's all around us. We see His attributes. We just see His creation. We know He's here. We have to always work on our worship to Him there. Thinking about what God wants in His worship. That is the best way to worship Him, the way He wants to be worshiped. And be constantly thinking about our dependence on the Lord. We got to be thinking the sun and the rain, and we got to be thinking about salvation there. So that's it for this sermon. Appreciate everyone's attention. We offer this time as an invitation to anybody that needs some help, needs to be taken care of through baptism, need to be helped through going through some kind of trials and that. Is there some way we can assist you? Any way we can assist you, we ask you to come forward, let us know how we can help while we'll stand and sing this song of invitation there.